thank you, ladies, all for coming tonight and for the privilege it is to speak tonight. And I had intended to speak on praying scripture tonight, and that is not what we're talking about. So all is well and good, but the Lord, you know, I sit down and I start writing what I'm going to speak about, and sometimes the Lord just veers it off in a direction I don't expect it to go. So I trust this is what you need tonight, because this is what came out. So this year we're going to be seeking to grow in wisdom as we dive into the depths of the Proverbs. I trust you're all aware that that's the theme that we've been advertising. But I'm wondering how many of you have had time to sit and think about what that's going to mean for us? Has anyone had time to think about that? Okay, I know I've had a lot of time because I've been planning and studying, but I realized that maybe you guys haven't had time to ponder the path that's ahead of us. So you're going to get a day's notice before you start your homework tomorrow. But I just want to give you a little warm up about that. And we are going to talk about prayer. It does go that direction. But as we jump into the book of Proverbs, you're going to find that we are accosted on every side and from every corner repetitively about seeking wisdom. And over and over, the Proverbs say, acquire wisdom, pursue wisdom, hold on to it, stick to it. We are about to set forth on a journey through all the chapters of Proverbs, and we need to get our walking shoes on, girls, because we talk over and over about the path of life and about pursuing wisdom, and these are action words. And so you need to be preparing yourself and asking God to open your heart to what he's going to teach you throughout this year, and the opening your mind to truth that maybe you haven't learned before, and it's time to learn it. And I'm very excited. I've been wanting to teach, not just teach, but I've been wanting to study Proverbs in depth for years. And when I was in college, which was now over 20 years ago, I took a whole class on Proverbs, and I called my, I sent an email to the master's college, and I said, could I get that syllabus? I want to see what was taught, how it was taught before I take this to my ladies. And they said, we haven't taught that class since 1995. I was like, that was my class. So a college that teaches youths has not taught Proverbs in over 20 years. So that's sad. It's never too late for us to learn from the book of Proverbs. So I'm really excited for every one of us as we're on this journey that we're going to be on together. But there's two main things I want to talk about tonight, cram it into the next 20 minutes. But basically, I have a twofold purpose tonight. And that's to prepare our hearts for the road of learning wisdom that's ahead of us, that we are not just hearers, ladies, but that we are doers of the things we're going to learn. Now, I know you can't apply every single thing that you're going to read in the book of Proverbs, but even if one thing changes, isn't that enough? But I'm sure that there'll be 20. I'm just saying, at least one. So the second thing is, which was I originally set out to do, was to consider prayer and how we pray for one another. And prayer is a big part of our weekly Bible study time. We pray for each other either in small groups or corporately in Bible study, women's Bible study. And so I want to talk tonight a little bit about how we can do that even better as we meet together every week, because we are oftentimes each other's first responders. I think Steve was the one who said that in his sermon a couple weeks ago. We are the first responders when our sisters in Christ have prayer requests. How do we respond? Are we addressing their needs and their requests wisely or foolishly? Because as I evaluated it, we've done both. So we all can learn about that. If you happen to bring your Bibles tonight, I would ask you to open to the book of James. Some of you might have it memorized and you don't even need to open to that chapter. Or you have it on your phone app. That's good too. I didn't tell you to bring your Bibles tonight, so it's okay if you didn't. Next week, you might be in trouble. But tonight, we're going to read James chapter 1, 2 through 8. Here we go. Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its perfect result so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. But if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But he must ask in faith, without any doubting. For the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For that man ought not to expect that he will receive anything from the Lord, being a double-minded man and unstable in all his ways. Ladies, I know for a fact that you have all encountered various trials in your lives. Has anyone not had trials? Okay, good. You're all human. Most of us are quite aware of this passage in James. Are we not familiar? We've heard it. We've heard it many times. Eric's been teaching it a lot lately. I'm sure Lisa probably knows it best of all of us. And most of us are quite aware of this, and yet, doesn't it still hit you square between the eyes every time you hear it? You're like, oh, that joy, I know. So we are told to consider our trials as joyful. And when we count our trials as joy, it says that we grow in patience and endurance. And as we know, those are works of the Holy Spirit poured out within us. And we are not in our flesh really willing to die to self in our trials, are we? That's difficult. But when we bend our hearts to the will of God, he tells us that there will be a perfect result. We will be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Now, I'm not sure about you, but I know I really want that. I want to be perfect and complete. I want to be lacking in no good work that reveals Christ in me and displays his glory to you guys, to my family, to the world. I want the most perfect picture of Christ to be seen in my life. And I know it's not there yet. But if I'm not counting my walk through life and trials as joy, then chances are that my wisdom is lacking too. Interestingly enough, after telling us that trials produce endurance, which is able to make us lacking in nothing, James asks the question, what if you're still lacking in wisdom? Why didn't he say if you're still lacking in joy? Right? He says, what if you're lacking in wisdom? Because a lack of joy reveals a lack of reliance upon God, and the fruit of his Spirit is hindered in your life somehow. So, what are we told to do if we're lacking in the wisdom department, ladies, according to these verses?
Ask.
That's right, which we call prayer. So here we are. We're to the prayer part. So he says, it's time to pray, ladies. When you find yourself lacking in joy in trials and needing that wisdom, where do we go? To the source of wisdom, to the source of joy. Now, God commands us to pray, to ask him for wisdom. And just as Solomon was given one request from the Lord, Solomon asked for wisdom. That should be a big key to us. And God promises us that he will give it to us generously and without reproach when we ask for it sincerely, from a heart that doesn't doubt that he is the one who can give it to us. What a promise. Isn't that exciting?
Amen.
Thank you. Michelle's a good person to have right here. But how often do we ask for wisdom? How many of you ask for wisdom in hard trials? Yep. How about on a daily basis? Yeah. But surely in hard trials, we ask for wisdom. For example, God, we need wisdom for this decision. Wisdom for which medical procedure to use. Wisdom for where to move. Wisdom in our finances. Wisdom in what to protect my kids from in this evil age. Wisdom for what activities to get involved with and which to say no to. Wisdom to not fear the future. Have you thought these thoughts before? These are the things that we tend to ask God for wisdom for the most. And there are so many hard decisions in life that are a trial to our hearts when we have no clear direction on where God wants us to go or what he wants us to do. So we ask God to grant us wisdom. And often, sadly, I think we ask for wisdom expecting God to like touch our heads with a magic fairy godmother wand so that we may make the best decision and not have any consequences for making a bad decision, right? Okay. I was at least talking about myself. But sometimes I picture it that way, like, oh, I just want him to magically grant me wisdom. But God gives us some conditions in these verses. What are the conditions? James says, you need to ask in faith and without doubting. And ladies, we need Christ-like joy in our trials, and we need to ask for wisdom in faith and without doubting that he is the one who can supply it, that we may not be lacking in endurance for life's trials. And on top of that, we need to be so familiar with his word, because the word is said to be a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. And that is how we want to walk through trials, with the brightness of the word of God lighting our path so that we know which decision we need to step forward in. Ladies, maybe some of you are in a deep trial right now, tonight, and you are desperate for wisdom. Now is a great time to pray for it and to be here every Thursday to learn more about wisdom. Some of you may not be in a big trial right now, but consider this. How can you gain wisdom now before the big trial that will inevitably come? God promises us you will have persecution and trial in this life. Do not be surprised by this ordeal around you. So you know it's coming from the word. You know that the word is the light. So whether you're in a trial or about to be in one, you need to be preparing. You need to be here learning about wisdom. So for those of you who aren't in a hard trial right now, I want you to think that wouldn't you rather learn wisdom from studying wisdom than from the School of Hard Knocks? Because we've all learned it that way, and it's much more painful. But we do not have to experience every horrible thing in this life to learn wisdom. That's not the way God's economy works. We can learn wisdom by hearing, seeking, following after. Now, do you desire to walk through the struggles of life confident and solid like a house built on a rock? Yes. I know I do. That's right. I want to be able to, the first time, be still and know that he is God, whether the earth is falling down in pieces around me or not. Where do we get that confidence? Well, walking with the Lord in the wisdom that he gives us, and he calls us to seek as hidden treasures. I know you guys have heard that. It's the name of the book, and we're going to be talking about that verse when we get there. But you need to keep in mind, Solomon sought to collect and to love wisdom, and he calls us to seek these hidden treasures. So ladies, as Solomon asked for wisdom, let us do likewise. And let's not assume it's something that we're granted by a fairy wand. We need to seek it, acquire it, hold on to it. And where will we find it? In the diary that God wrote down for us that we have between two leather covers, or on our app, or six more copies on our shelves at home, right? It's all around us. The wisdom just sitting there, and we need to get after it because it is accessible to us. Think about what Solomon had. Did he have all 66 books of the Bible? Nope. So we have even so much more. Now, ladies, from your previous interaction with the book of Proverbs, what is the antithesis of wisdom? Foolishness. We could call it stupidity. That would be way more blatant and good for our hearts. But my kids would accuse me of using bad words. So we're just going to say foolishness. And Steve Smith, married Katie over there. He said it rightly in a sermon 2 weeks ago, that God answers prayers that are consistent with his will. How will we know if our prayers are consistent with his will? By knowing his words to us in his book. Is it possible that we have foolish prayers that are not in accordance with God's will? I think I gave that answer at the beginning. We pray for things all the time that are not in God's will. God, please make me happy. God, please take away this trial. God, help us get this house. There is foolishness in the motives of our requests for health, happiness, comfort, solutions, healing, and success when, here's the qualifier, they are for our own desires or our glory, and when they aren't what he wants for us. This is where we must learn to submit our hearts to the sovereign plan of our Creator God. We are worms thinking we have a bird's eye view. That's a quote. That was not me. That is an awesome quote. So keep that in mind. We are worms thinking we have a bird's eye view of our lives, and we know which path we need to take. But he is the potter, Isn't he? He is the creator of us, and he knows when we need comfort, and he knows when we need solutions and when we don't. And he knows when happiness and health are in our best interest, and he knows when happiness and health are not in our best interest at all. These requests are actually short-sighted and selfish when they are not in accordance with God's will. This is why praying scripture itself helps us to be wise and not foolish in our prayers. How many of you have heard about praying scripture before? Okay, I'm not just talking about the ones, Lord bless us indeed, you know. Of course we want those things, but that is not the full counsel of scripture. So do you know if your desires are foolish or wise all the time? Not necessarily, but there are some clear things in the Bible. Here's a good question to ask yourself. If I was given three wishes, so to speak, or God said to you, what three things do you want? What are the first three things that pop in your mind? Would it be health, happiness, a solution to a problem, money, healing, or success? Would it be a particular person that you would want, or a particular place, or a particular comfort? Remember, Solomon was given one request, and he asked for wisdom. Was that on your list? It may have been after the last 10 minutes, but would it have been yesterday? If it wasn't, now is a good time to make it on your list. I want to ask God for wisdom. And God says in James to start by praying for it in faith and without doubting that he will fully give it to you. So, what are wise things that we should be asking God for in our prayers? I went to John MacArthur for some direction on this. And I followed his paths to 2 Thessalonians. And Paul addresses what we should be praying for each other for. So if you have your Bible app or your Bible or just want to listen along, 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, 11 and 12. To this end also we pray for you always, that our God will count you worthy of your calling and fulfill every desire for goodness and the work of faith with power, so that the name of our Lord Jesus will be glorified in you and you in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. I love that passage. So, what will make our prayers for ourselves and each other wise prayers? Number one, it says when we pray for each other to be found worthy. Have you prayed for your sisters in Christ to be found worthy? That he will enable us to bear the name, I belong to Jesus. I am God's child. You could have that name across you and you wouldn't be embarrassed. We want to live in such a way that there is no reproach, where God looks bad because of our lives. If people learn that we're Christians and they're like, what, wait, how could that be? If we live in accordance with his spirit in all corners of life, then we will be found worthy, ladies. But if we're sitting in the pig slop with pearls all around us, we are not worthy to bear his name. Second of all, it says, when we pray for each other to have fulfillment. I hadn't thought about that before. What is godly fulfillment that we can pray for each other about? Well, it's the work of God accomplishing his goodness and his will in our hearts and in our lives. And it's seen in our obedience. When we are obedient, we are in the center of God's will. And that is where our hearts will be truly fulfilled and full. Psalm 37, 4 through 6. I know we've read this before together. Listen again. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord, trust also in him, and he will do it. And he will bring forth your righteousness as the light and your judgment as the noonday. May our desires be what he desires for us. That is where we find true fulfillment. Next, he says, when we pray for each other's service and work for the kingdom. So we need to pray for each other's faith and good works, lift each other up in our ministries in the body. Let's thank God for what we see him doing in all the different ladies in our body. We rejoice when someone learns something new. Rejoice when someone is baptized. Rejoice when someone cleans the bathrooms. Amen. right? Let's encourage one another in these things. 1 Thessalonians 1, 2 through 3 also says, we give thanks to God always for all of you. And I do give thanks for all of you, making mention of you in our prayers, constantly bearing in mind your work of faith and labor of love and steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the presence of our God and Father. For, ladies, in Ephesians, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for what? Good works that God prepared when?
In advance.
Beforehand or in advance so that we would walk in them. And as we read Proverbs, we're going to constantly be seeing that word path and walk and feet. So keep that in mind. These are the things we're just going to keep getting hit with as the weeks progress. So ladies, let's pray for those who take care of events like this one tonight. I agree that I did not pray for the ladies that were preparing this room and these place settings and those flowers tonight. But now's the time to be confronted with that and to think about it. How am I praying for my sisters in Christ to fulfill their good works? And even the Sunday school teachers, the brownie makers, the elders, the people that go out on the evangelism days. If you're not there, then you should be home praying. So let's encourage one another and pray for one another in God's will for their good works. And also, the last thing, when we pray for each other, to glorify God. What a great thing to pray for each other in the midst of our struggles, that we would be more than conquerors when those hard things of life come at us. And ladies, how will we know? We have to open up to one another. We have to tell each other what's going on so that we can see God's work in our lives. When we can share what our trial is and we can watch each other endure with joy through the trial that God sends us. And we can pray for their faithfulness and their endurance and their joy, that they would give glory to God through that. Because that is not natural. That is not our flesh to rejoice that life is hard. We tend to complain, and the world complains, and we are not supposed to be like the world. So if we tell each other our struggles, one, we can encourage each other, and we can pray for one another accurately and according to God's word, that God would be glorified in each other's struggles as we watch each other bend our wills to what God gives us. We have no idea what tomorrow holds, what trial, but we know who ordained it. So we have to trust in God's sovereignty here. And we will be blessed to hear how you are enduring. And ladies, the fact of the matter is, we should not expect each other to be cast down. When you see someone in this church joyful in a trial, you need to say, praise the Lord, glory to God. We should not expect each other to be hanging down like this, because that's contrary to the scripture. So we need to shock the world with our joy in trials, not silly joy, but trust in God joy. And that will give glory to God, because that is only available through his power and through the fruit of the Spirit. Okay, so I always fire hose you guys. I really want to, every time I'm like, I got to cut it down. I don't know what to cut. I'll be working on this. So what do we need to walk away with tonight as we prepare for this journey ahead? Two things. Yep, two things. Two quick things. I'm just going to summarize. Number one, we need to trust God in all our trials, wisely enduring in his good and gracious sovereign plan, no matter how horrible the trial may look. These trials reveal where our depth of wisdom is. So if we do find a sister in Christ who is cast down by her trials, we know that we need to pray for her wisdom and encourage her with truth and with wisdom. That's what we already do this. When someone brings you a Bible verse in your trial, when they encourage you and hold you and talk to you about the Lord's faithfulness, God's will is being done. And this is where our level of wisdom is revealed. So we might need to find, we need to encourage one another. And we need to consider Job in our trials. And remember, it could always be worse. We are better than we deserve, as Mark Bibbins always says. So, ladies, while you rest in his sovereign care, you no less pray and you no less obey God's word. So on the one hand, we're commanded to pray for wisdom, to pray without ceasing, to pray for one another. And on the other hand, we're told to walk in obedience. So we need to constantly hold those two in the balance. And obeying God is paramount to loving him. Remember that God works in and we work out, simultaneously relying on him in prayer in all those things. And we can pray the scriptures for one another as we're around our tables this year, encouraging one another with scripture and wanting to hear more scripture from each other than just earthly words. So that was the one. And then the second, what do you hope to get from this study this year? It would be a good idea to have a plan for what you would like to gain. Now, you have no idea. I mean, you might have an idea. Wisdom, foolishness, Proverbs 31. You might have an idea of what you might learn this year. So maybe write that down. You know, I've always thought about wanting to learn this from the Proverbs. I've always wanted, I know I'm weak in this area and I want to focus on that. It might be good to focus in on one thing. But like it says, the Proverbs is full of hidden treasures, and some of them are hidden, but there are jewels lying all over the place. They're going to be very apparent, all the wisdom that you're going to get just from chapter one, and you're going to be scooping up, and we're going to be pushing our wheelbarrows out of here every week. And we're going to be having to mine for some of them. But you need to be considering, do I have a goal? Why will I be coming? What is my motivation? Am I just coming because I just go to Bible study? Or do I have a focus? Do I have a goal? And so I just want to encourage you with that. What do I want to learn by the end of April from the book of Proverbs? So that is my twofold encouragement for you tonight. And I would like to close in prayer, reading scripture. So let's bow our heads, and I'll be reading from Romans 11 and 1 Thessalonians 3, just so you know. Oh, the depth of the riches, God, both of the wisdom and knowledge of you. God, how unsearchable are your judgments and unfathomable your ways. For who has known your mind, Lord? Who has become your counselor? Or who has first given to God that it might be paid back to him again? For God, from you and through you and to you are all things. To you be the glory forever, Lord, especially in these ladies' hearts. And now may you, God, our Father, and Jesus Christ, our Lord, direct our way to you. And may you cause us to increase and abound in love for one another and for all people, just as we pray for all of you, so that you, God, will establish our hearts without blame and holiness before you, our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and all the saints. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.